friends. This is a weekly podcast about growing, designing, and selling flowers, and I'm your host, Sarah Naioni. I have a flower garden and small floral design business here in Seattle, Washington, in the United States, and I love sharing my experience and the new things I'm learning and get to interview the friends I'm making and experts in this field through the podcast. This is season 2, episode 8, and for today's interview, we get to speak to Michelle Nathan from the Little Free Flowery here in Seattle. This is a local flower friend of mine, but Michelle's idea is one that could apply anywhere. So I hope you're feeling inspired by this convo where we chat about the joy and the beauty that she's sharing with her community. Before we get to the interview, some updates from over here. I'm a little sunburnt on the back of my neck because I just came in from doing some watering and some weeding and pulling off stripping leaves from the bottom of my dahlias and my mums. The big things I was doing this morning were just cleaning out my chrysanthemum bed. It's really wild how big they've grown. They're like 4 feet tall right now, and I've just have been having a hard time keeping up with all the plants this season. So today was my day to focus on that bed. So basically, they've got these big long stalks. I put tomato cages around some of them, and then I've been tying in the individual stems onto the tomato cages or onto like additional support frames. And then I basically haven't been stripping the leaves that have been browning at the bottom to create a little bit of airflow. And I haven't been as good about watering as I should have been in those beds. So I try to clean it out to make it a little easier to water. And I also had planted some daffodils beneath the chrysanthemums because at the end of the season, I cut my chrysanthemums back all the way down to just a little tiny bit showing above the ground. And for the daffodils, you know, they're blooming at a very different time than mums. So I thought they might go well together. And I just way overordered on daffodils last year. So I needed another bed to put them in. So basically, I did the daffodils about 8 inches deep around the mums. I left the mums enough room for their roots to not at all be disturbed. But their growing seasons are really different. So as the daffodils are dying back, the mums are starting to come out of the ground and get nice and big, and then the daffodil leaves die back, and I actually just pulled all of those ones out because those were my late bloomers in this specific bed. It's in like a partially shady area, so they hadn't, you know, bloomed until the very last of all the daffodils that I have, and they're late bloomers in that bed. And so I just finally cleared out all of their leaves that have turned brown and died back. So that was one project that I'm working on. And then tomorrow is Monday for me. You guys might be listening to this on Monday, but I do flower subscriptions around Seattle. And so on Mondays, I usually buy in and cut some of the flowers. I cut more on Tuesday mornings for Wednesday deliveries. And then I basically put the bouquets and arrangements together on Tuesdays and Wednesdays and deliver on those days. So that's how the beginning of my week is looking. And then at the end of the week, I am designing for a bat mitzvah. I'm so excited, a beautiful summery theme. And so I've been putting together some vase mechanics for that and just sort of preparing and thinking about, you know, a little bit more beyond the order that I placed with other growers and the wholesale market, what I have blooming here and how it's all going to work together, and just doing some final planning for that. And for that bat mitzvah, I'm going to do a floor installation on either side of the pulpit, try to make it look like a little indoor garden. So I'm really excited and just have been prepping mechanics for that. Blooming in the garden right now, I have dahlias. I have a couple beds that are really churning out the flowers, so I'm doing my best to keep them really happy and give them some liquid fertilizer every week, every other week, just to make sure they have enough nutrients to keep up that sort of production that I'm expecting of them. And then I have another bed of dahlias that I pinched back early in the season, and none of them have flowered yet. So they've all thrown up buds and the buds are starting to color up. So this week for sure, I'll have my first blooms on that bed. But it's pretty wild that it's like mid-August and I'm getting some of my first dahlias from certain plants. And then I have some zinnias that I just, you know, I really wasn't sure if they were going to survive. And a few of them are absolutely thriving now, but a lot of them didn't make it. And so it's kind of nice. I've got some Benary's giant salmon zinnias that are really pretty. They're like as big as a dahlia and just really beautiful, bright, happy color. And then I have some of the Lilliput salmon variety that are much smaller. They're really petite and cute, and I love the combo of the big size of the Benary's with the smaller Lilliput. They're very similar color and they go together really well. And then I do have some Don Creek and other varieties of zinnias, but I had to start a late succession of those, so they're in beds now and just waiting for them to get big and bud up. Echinacea is an absolute star right now. It is one of my favorite flowers of all time. This is the third year for some of my plants that I grew from seed, starting back, I think I sowed the seeds in 2020, and some of those plants are still with me. I save seeds just as like a protection for a couple of the color combos, hoping I could recreate it if that plant died, but I've got some sort of sunset color ones, some pink ones, some white ones, and then some hot pink. And those plants are just popping off right now. They're really happy. They love the heat. They don't require a lot of water. And I'm just so impressed with them and their vase life and how they look and arrangements. So I'm just having a real love affair this time of year with Echinacea. And I want to record this to remind myself to put more seeds in next year. I had planted some Sahara Rudbeckia, and those are actually doing really well. Last year for me, the stem length was really short, and this year I kind of crammed them in and made them fight for that sunlight, and the stems are much longer. So I don't know if that's really good for the plant or if over the season if I'm going to see as much production from those, but wow, I'm really excited to start cutting on those Sahara Rudbeckia plants and just have those beautiful kind of dusty colors, especially as we're coming into more like late summer and early fall color palettes. There's lots of like reds and sort of like dusty rose, some soft yellow colors in there. So really excited for that. And then I grew some Scabiosa Fata Morgana. It's the yellow and peach colored ones. I grew those from seed this season and they're doing really well. I'm not sure if those perennialize the same way that some of the Scabiosa varieties do, but they are really beautiful flowers. And the one gripe that I have is just that they're really hard to harvest. And I've noticed that like for each plant, they kind of threw up one main stem with offshoot flowers. And the offshoot flowers are really short stems. So unless I want to cut it as like one flower and use that in the middle, you know, one stem in the middle of a bouquet, I found those a little bit hard to use unless I'm using them in lower flower arrangements where I don't need that same height. But for me, I usually use Scabiosa as like an airy, extra beautiful bit. And so it's hard for me to not have good stem length on those. And so if anyone has tips or ideas for how to get more stems and longer multiple stems on those, I'd love to hear it. My Lysianthus are getting really close to bloom. They've got the little flower buds peeking out and I just can't wait for them to fill out and just... They work so well in bouquets. I found that they give like a super high-end rose look to an arrangement, but they last so much longer than roses. I had some that would last 11 days last year and still look great. And so I am just really excited for those to bloom. I have been experiencing something and I wanted to put it out there and see if anyone else noticed this with Lysianthus. I don't know if it's like the bed that I put them in or what. They're super tall. Mine are almost 2 feet tall right now. But the issue that I'm having is like at the beginning of the season too, some of the individual plants were wilting and I knew it couldn't be from water because that was back when it was in the super rainy season. And I was just plucking them out as they would sort of keel over because they just didn't look like healthy plants that were going to recover. But even as the season has warmed, and I've really been trying not to overwater them, so I really don't think it's that, but a couple of the stems have been wilting and I can't figure out what it is. It's like a stem that's growing in between like five or six other really healthy looking plants and it just kind of keels over. So I've been pulling it out just in case there's some kind of like disease or bug that I might not want to spread to more of them, but I can't really figure out what the problem is. Most of them are looking good and healthy, so I'm not that worried about it, but I do want to figure it out for next season. And one of the things that I've been thinking about is I did a really tight spacing, like 4 inches on those. Last season I had done 6, and so I'm wondering if maybe the plants were just a little bit too close where some of the plants couldn't access like the nutrients or the water that they needed. And then I don't typically use sunflowers in my designs, but I've been super inspired by some of the color palettes that sunflowers can get into. So there's some that are sort of like a green and purple as the flower. It doesn't really have the same flower petals. It's got like a purpley center and sort of green leaf center to it. I don't know how to explain it, but it's really pretty. And then there's some that are more on the cream side. There's some that are sort of like flush out into a red, and I just love all the different colors that I'm seeing. So I had 2 extra beds and I decided that for bouquets that a lot of my subscribers would really like these color palettes and they fit really well with like the early fall. So I have some that are just about to bloom and then another succession that's about a week behind. And I'm excited to see how they look. I can't wait. And they're just, you know, I space them really tightly because with sunflowers where the head is really big, it's hard to like arrange with them. So I actually wanted smaller flowers. So I put a lot of like pressure on the plants by spacing them really closely, you know, 4 to 6 inches apart, even though the seed packets recommend 12 inches. And so I think I'm going to get much smaller flower heads. And then on the branching ones, I like how they put out the side shoots that have smaller heads. So that's kind of what I was aiming for with like the main flower stem. And so, yeah, I'm really excited to see how that turns out. It's kind of a test, and I tried a bunch of different colors. Like within those 2 beds, I think I have 6 or 8 varieties within each bed because I just did like 2 rows of each variety to just have some variation and give me some options for color palettes. And the last garden thing that I wanted to mention today is that I planted some toad lilies. Just as a fun experiment, I saw them. I love, like, I'm like this for podcasts where I have to listen from the very first episode of a podcast all the way forward, or else I feel like I missed something, I missed out on the jokes, whatever. I think I might have like a slight compulsion because on plant websites, I don't know what is wrong with me, but I will go in and search like in the shop every single variety of plants. So like, for example, I went to Bluestone Perennial and I just like last fall, I think I was searching for one specific variety. And then I was like, you know what? I'm going to look through everything in their entire catalog and see if there's something new. And I do this with like seeds and all sorts of stuff where like I'll go to the website and instead of like looking for one thing, I will look through everything because I love to see what I don't know about. And I love to like try, you know, new plants that I've never heard of or never seen in someone else's garden and just for fun. So I picked up 3 toad lilies last year and they are starting to bloom now and they're the sweetest little things. These are, I don't think, for cut production at all. I mean, maybe I would use them in a really special arrangement, but you know, each one is kicking off like 3 or 4 stems right now. And at the top of each stem, they've got 5 or 6 little flower buds and each one opens into a little like orchid looking flower. It's kind of a mix between like an orchid and a lily and it has these cool color palette and like speckles on it. It's just this really cool plant. It's a shade loving plant. So I wanted to try it because I had one side of my garden has a lot of shade and I've just been looking for plants besides like hellebores that can handle full shade. And these were one of them. So a fun little treasure that I found. Okay, for this week's Flower Friends Flower Fact question of the week, I was looking up what the biggest flower in the world is because I was thinking about sunflowers and how big their faces can get. And I just was like, wonder what the biggest one is. So look that up. And then I found a lot of other interesting info. So I'm going to actually turn this into three trivia questions. So what is the world's largest flower? What is the world's tallest flower? And what is the world's smallest flower? So there's three right there for you, and you'll get the answer to those after this interview with Michelle. Oh, today I am so excited to welcome Michelle Nathan from Little Free Flowery. Hello, Michelle.
Hi, thanks so much for having me.
Yeah. How are you on this chilly Seattle morning?
Doing good. Yeah, it's chilly out there. Haven't been outside yet, but we'll definitely, once it starts warming up, we'll definitely be outside.
So you run the Little Free Flowery, and I was wondering if you can tell me what that is.
Yeah, so it's just a free flower stand. And I started it last summer. And it was the first year that I was growing flowers, and I had so many, and, you know, I read the florette book, like I followed the instructions, and she says, you know, cut your flowers, like cut them, use them, harvest them, and then more will grow. So that's what I did. I was trying to be a good gardener, and I cut my flowers, and then I ended up with like vases and vases and vases full. And I was like, what am I supposed to do with all of these flowers? And so, I was like, I'll just put them out on the stand and I'll just put them out on the side of the street and see how it goes and see what people, if people like them. And then I was like, I need a name. Like, let's make this cute.
Of course you have to.
like, if we're going to do it, let's make it cute. And so I like surveyed my friends. I was like, I need a name for the flower stand. Like, help me. And one of my really good friends came up with Little Free Flowery, and I was like, okay, that's cute. And it just kind of like took off. Like the neighbors loved it. Instagram people like it.
Yes.
So yeah, it's been really fun little project.
And so do you grow all the flowers that you put out at the stand?
So mostly, last year I did get some like greenery from like Met Market or when I was at the grocery store, just kind of like spruce it up a little.
Yeah.
And then there's been a couple of times where I've gone down to like Seattle wholesale flower market and just went shopping, you know, just a little retail therapy.
That's so fun. And then you just are sharing it with everyone in your community. So they can just come up to the stand, and do you do like bouquets? Do you do single flowers? How do you set it up?
So every week is a little different, and I don't do it every week. Mine is very much like a pop-up style. When I have the time, when I'm in the mood, fair weather gardener is what I am. So the stand is set up a little differently every week. Some weeks I have like little arrangements. Some weeks I do like a flower bar style where I just harvest big mason jars full of different flowers that I have in the garden and just put the big mason jars out and tell people, you know, take your favorite ones and make your own arrangements. And then sometimes I have both. So I have like pre-made arrangements at the top, and then I have like the flower bouquet at the bottom, like the flower bar, bouquet bar. And then sometimes I have seeds, or like in the spring when I divided all my dahlias, I put dahlia tubers out for people to come take. And then in like the winter I ordered like a big box of dried flowers from Charles Little in Oregon.
Yeah.
Which were so fun. And so my daughter and I, we made like little bouquets on magnets or just little dried flower arrangements just to play. And so the stand, you know, it's set up differently every week. It's really what I have on hand, what I have the energy to do. Sometimes I'm in the mood to arrange flowers and make cute arrangements. Sometimes I'm not.
Yeah.
Sometimes all I want to do is harvest. and I try to tell people, you know, what's on the stand. So, cause some people really like the DIY flower bar. Some people like to just swing by and grab arrangements. And so I try to tell people what's on the stand before, so they don't drive over for no reason.
And so you're located in Magnolia in Seattle.
Yeah. We're on the Inner Bay side of Magnolia up on the hill, 23rd Avenue.
And have people been coming from all over? Or
yeah, it's been really cool. Like there's a good crowd from like Queen Anne who comes over. And then every once in a while, there's people from out of town who pop by. Like, I've had a lady message me and she's like, I'm coming in from out of town to visit family. I'd love to swing by. She's like, are you going to have it out this weekend? And I'm like, if you ask, I will put it out. Like, I wasn't planning to, but I will because you're in town.
I'm going to please the people here. And so what does your stand look like? Like, what is it? How did you set it up?
So at the beginning last year, I just had an old garden table from IKEA that was sitting on the rain. It's totally ugly and rusty, but it's what I had.
Yeah.
And so I put that out, you know, put a little garland around it, try to make some cute little signs.
Cute.
And then in January, I was like on a hunt. I was like, I need to make this cuter because why not? Our property is kind of tricky because we're up on a hill. Things get stolen all the time. It's Seattle. Like, you can't just leave things on the side of the street and expect it to not be stolen. And so I was like, okay, I need something not too cute that I'll get stolen. And so I found a baker's rack, on, like, I don't know, Craigslist or something for $20. And so that's what the stand is now. And my husband is very heavy. My husband has to haul it out of the garage every weekend.
That's good for not being stolen, I'm guessing.
Yeah. And if it gets stolen, it was $20.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't care.
Yeah. But the heavier, the better. It holds it in place. And also, when I feel like Seattle gets a lot of wind, so that way you have a sturdy, sturdy spot too.
Yes. Yes.
Good. Well, so what has the response been like from your neighbors and community? It sounds like it's very popular, but how are you hearing from people? Are people mostly getting in touch with you on Instagram? Are you like interfacing with people in person?
It's all over. It's both. I met a lot of people through Instagram, which is so fun. Like, it's just fun to meet new people. And then, after I put the stand out, there's some people who come like right when I put it out. Like, I'll give a heads up the night before and be like, it's going to be out around 9-ish. And people will come and they'll wait, they'll sit in their cars and like, wait. And I'm like, and usually they come and like, I talk to them and they say hi and thank you. And it's just really fun to like meet new people. And a lot of them are my neighbors, you know. Yeah. I've lived here for 7 years. And I know some people, but now I know a whole lot more people.
Yeah. They come out in droves when the flowers come out.
Yeah. And it's just nice to know your neighbors and, you know, they appreciate it. And, you know, they, like, I had another neighbor bring me flowers, you know, and I'm like, this is so nice. It's just nice to be nice, you know?
Yeah. And it's a good way to connect. I feel that way too. Like, I had never met most of my neighbors until I started gardening. And I feel like just being outside and gardening, and then if you put any stand out or anything that brings people around, it's really exciting to get to like feel more connected to your community through flowers. I think that's why a lot of people see, at least that's part of why I garden. So
yeah. Yeah. I wasn't expecting it. And at the beginning, and I'm very like introverted. Don't go out much. It's hard for me to talk to people sometimes. And so like at the beginning, I would just kind of like rush down the stand and like run away. But now I really try to like make a conscious effort to like put it out slowly. So at least I can meet like the early birds, and then to like just stick around in the garden and keep going in the garden afterwards so that people walking by can say hi and just like, and I can say hi.
Yeah.
And we can just have like a nice little chat.
So, for anyone else that might want to start something like this in their community with flowers or anything, maybe you could share some of the things that have been going well for you. And then if you've had any challenges, so people could think through that.
Yeah. I mean, so number one, I would just say like, go for it. Like I've been trying to like figure out, you know, how to structure like what I'm doing with the flowers in a way that's like transferable to like other people. And I would probably consider myself to be like a serial hobbyist. Like, I love making things. Like, I need to make things in order to feel alive, whether it's cooking or baking or gardening or creating or painting. And I think there's a lot of people out there who have hobbies. I mean, lots of people have hobbies who make things, and I if you don't want to sell them, give them away, put out a stand. Maybe you like love blueberries and just fill your yard with blueberries. And then, you know, once a month have your blueberry stand out or whatever.
Right. It doesn't have to be every week. It can be like when you have that thing available or like, you know, once a summer or something.
Totally. And it could be like literally anything, you know, like if you knit or if you paint, you know, there's like those little free art galleries that are popping up and those are so cute. And I just like, there's so, you can do anything. So my number one thing would be just go for it, you know, like figure out what you're enthusiastic about at that moment, because, you know, hobbies change. And if you're the kind of person like me who needs to like hobby in bulk,
really go for it,
really go for it, then, you know, put out a stand and give it away to your neighbors, because they'll like it. And if they don't like it, they won't complain because it's free.
Exactly.
And so basically only good can happen. Like, you know, yeah. You do your hobby, you make your things, you get that part of like the creative process and the mental health aspect and just well-being. And then you can put out your art to the world in like a stress-free way that really, you won't know the benefits until you do it. And you'll meet people will love it, and it'll be great.
Well, have you had any bad experiences through doing this? Or I mean, it seems like overwhelmingly good. Has there been anything negative that you've experienced?
Yeah. So like at the beginning, I'm a little bit of a control freak. So this has been a really good exercise also in just like letting go. Right. Mm-hmm. And so I might go harvest flowers and arrange them and put them on the stand. And the person who comes to the stand might decide those flowers would look a lot better with like some other flowers, and then completely rearrange all your arrangements.
Oh, that no. You've
but it's okay. They're out there. They're free. It's like, once it's out on the stand, I've just decided it's out of my hands. Whatever happens, happens. Nothing out there I'm attached to. I don't care what happens to my product, quote unquote product. You know, if somebody wants to go grab three bunches and compile them into one bunch, okay. That's their thing.
Yeah.
Someone wants to come to the stand and take 10 arrangements. Okay. Like, I'm just assuming they're going to go deliver them to somebody else. If you're like me and you have, you know, you like to control things, this is a good exercise in just letting go, you know? And so I haven't had any bad experiences, but there have been things that have tested my patience with community members, but overwhelmingly great. It's all good. People are wonderful. People are so like gracious and they give back to you. And it's just been great. Yeah. So prepare yourself emotionally to once it's out on the street, it's gone. It's out of your hands.
Right. Let it be.
They steal the whole stand. Okay. Like, you just have to let it go.
And you told me that your neighbor mentioned that they were inspired by what you were doing and they started their own stand. Can you tell me about that?
Yeah, that's been like one of, I think, the coolest things about this whole little personal project is like having people reach out to me and say like, you inspired me to like start something. And I'm like, I don't consider myself very inspirational. And so that's been like really touching and like, and it's really inspired me to like, be like, there's like something bigger in this little free community, you know? And so a neighbor just one block up, I did like a giveaway sort of where I'm like, but I had people nominate other people. So you couldn't nominate yourself for the giveaway. You had to just like put a friend's like name and address. And then I made a couple like special arrangements and delivered them. Like I randomly picked them and delivered them. And she got one. And she said it inspired her to start her own little free bakery.
So cute.
It's so cute. And she's an amazing cook because we swing by every week. And so every Tuesday she makes something, you know, whatever she wants to make. She loves baking and she puts it in her little stand and it's awesome. And now there's like seven little free bakeries in Seattle.
Wow.
It's so cool.
So it's like a pay it forward kind of scenario. It's like someone inspired by you giving something away, thought about what they're good at and then did the same thing.
Yeah. It's really cool. And people are doing their own little free floweries. Like there's one in Oregon. There's actually a lady in New York who, I think it's called the Little Free Flower Stand. And she started like the same thing, like a month before I did, like totally randomly, like on the other side of the country. Like we had like the same idea.
Kindred spirits.
It is. Yeah.
And then I think you were featured recently in Magnolia Magazine, right?
Yes, which was wild.
That's so cool.
It was really cool. I've never been featured in anything ever. My career background, I do accounting and tax work, and it's not very fulfilling. The right word. Odd desk work. And so, you know, especially during the pandemic when you're working from home, the grind is real. You're not like, you're doing all the work without any of the fun stuff.
Yes.
And I was like, I need a career change. And I just like was dreaming of career changes. And so I, and Joanne Gaines from Magnolia was giving away $50,000 for, to invest in like people's small businesses. And it didn't have to be like a business yet. And so it could be just an idea. And so I saw it and I was like, okay, $50,000, like that's like real money. Like maybe I could like actually make a career change. And so I drafted up a business plan in like 5 hours for the Little Free Flowery, as turn it into like, wow, a business. And I submitted that. And so that's how they found it. And the business plan is not good. That's why it's not a business. And that's why I did not get $50,000. Because you can't have a little free business. That's right. I'm a business person. I know this. But she saw the idea and they were like, this is the perfect concept, like story to, for our summer issue, which was Flourish. Like the theme was Flourish. And so they asked if I wanted to be in the issue. And I was like, yeah. Like, are you kidding? I'm like, me?
That's amazing. So did they take photo? Like, how did it all work?
Yeah, they flew. So I was interviewed in November over the phone with one of their writers, who's amazing. All of their whole team is just lovely people, like truly lovely people. And then in January, they flew out a photographer to take photos. And of course, like there's no photos or there's no flowers in January. I was like, oh my gosh. Okay.
They're down in Texas, right? So they're not thinking about Seattle climate up here.
Yeah. Like they had to like plan ahead, right? You have to do it a couple months before the issue comes out. And so for that stand, it's all from Seattle Wholesale Flowers.
Yeah.
But it was really cool. It was really fun. It was really fun to, I've never had my photo taken professionally, let alone be interviewed.
Also, it's like wonderful to hear that everyone that works there is actually really nice, because like we're all in love with so many of those shows on Magnolia Network or like, yeah. Chip and Joanna Gaines. So that's really cool that like it lived up to what you hope the culture would be like there.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I've only met a couple people there, but the ones that I did, it seems like it's a pretty cool, powerful team of women, which yeah. I'm all for.
Heck yeah. Well, I wanted to, if you have a little more time, just kind of nerd out on the garden side with you.
Yeah.
And I wanted to hear, especially because it sounds like you're growing a lot of cut and come again flowers, if you had some recommendations for things that you've loved growing and that produce a lot for either people who might be starting a business or growing flowers to share like you are. What are some of your recommendations?
So I am a new gardener. I've been a lifelong weeder, but I am very new to like actually growing things. So last summer, let's see, 2021 was the first year I really grew flowers on purpose. And I started with pretty much dahlias. And I started with dahlias because the year before my mom planted a dahlia and I completely neglected it all summer long and it grew huge. It was like amazing. I'm like, I didn't kill something. I need more of these. So yay! I bought like 30 and then ended up with a lot of flowers. So being a new gardener, dahlias were awesome. You just pop it in the dirt, remember to water it a couple of times a week, and you get these amazing flowers that are so pretty. And so I would say number one, definitely dahlias. And then everything else, this is my first year growing everything else. It's my first year growing from seeds. It's my first year growing a bunch of different things. And so some of the things that worked really well were pansies. I grew a lot of pansies. I did snapdragons, which were pretty easy. I did scabiosa, which has been surprisingly easy. And then I've just been like trying, I think I probably started, I don't know, 50 different seeds. So all over the board. I'm just like, if I like it, I'm trying it. And if it's great, and if it doesn't, oh well.
Right. If it doesn't, it's not the end of the world. And like you try that and you know, for next time, it's either like you got to switch something up or try, you know, a different variety next time.
Yeah. And it's just a plant. Like plants die. Like don't get emotionally attached to your plants. You know, just if you're just starting out, just go for it. You know, just find things that you like and just try them. And if they don't work, try something else. Just grow. That's my advice. Just put stuff in dirt and in water.
Do you have any favorite like color palettes that you've liked working with or things that maybe you didn't expect would look good together that came out of your garden?
So my favorite this year I'm sure there's like a name for it, but I don't know what it is. Are the dahlias with like the stripes, like the streaks.
Ooh.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
Oh, is it maybe like little flecked? Like,
like
someone took a paintbrush. Yes. Yeah. What are those called?
I don't know.
We can just call them speckled dahlias.
Speckled dahlias. That's what I'm really enjoying this year. And so I'm going to save a bunch of seeds from those and just see what happens. Ooh. Yeah. Those have been fun. I like the wild flowers, you know, like I have so much respect for like color palettes and like beautiful arrangements that have like that look put together because of the color palette, but that's just like not my style.
Yeah, you want like more of a wild flowing look.
Yeah, and just funky. Yeah. I like funky flowers.
I mean, I think it's like the longer you work with flowers, it's like you get used to seeing the same forms, especially if you're following other people or seeing them in your garden every day. And then it's like anything that's new and different, at least for me, I'm the most excited about. So I hear you on that.
Yeah. It's like every time a new flower blooms, I'm like, this is my new favorite.
Yeah. And then I wanted to ask you, so you mentioned your kids and them, do they get involved in Little Free Flowery?
Yeah, one is two. And so his job, I usually like will cut the flowers and his job is to go put them in the vase carefully.
That's good. That's a great job.
And then my daughter who's 12, she helps like haul things up and down and like set it up and make it look cute. And she like she made a logo. I need to like update our stuff with her little logo. It's really cute.
That's so cool. What did she draw it or how did she make it?
Oh, she just drew on the iPad.
That's amazing. Man, kids these days are so much more advanced than me. I would have no clue how to get started with that.
I know. Same.
Do you save any of your flowers for yourself or are you putting mostly everything outside?
I almost always have flowers in the house.
Okay,
and I have ever way before I started the flower stand, way before I started growing flowers. Like I love having flowers in the house.
Yeah.
So my kitchen table almost always has a bouquet on it. And now it's homegrown, which is really nice.
That is so special. Definitely.
Yeah.
And where can people find out more about Little Free Flowery? Where can they find you?
Instagram is the best place.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much for joining today and sharing about this. And I would love to get some updates on how it's going through the rest of the summer and everything. So I'll be checking in with you.
Yeah. Thanks. Yeah. This has been so fun. I have a couple things planned for next year. So It's exciting.
Can't wait to hear. Well, thank you so much for joining today, and we'll talk soon.
Yeah, thank you so much.
If you'd like to follow along with Michelle, her Instagram handle is Little Free Flowery, no spaces, no dashes, Little Free Flowery. And you can go see, she'll post what she has out on the stand, when it's going up, if you're local to the Seattle area, or you can just follow along if you're thinking about doing something similar in your community and see the sort of things that she grows and puts out on her stand. And if you're a florist who ends up having extra flowers after a big event like a wedding or something, or you're a home gardener or flower grower who has extra flowers, I was thinking that bringing those flowers to a free stand like this, assuming that person who's running it would want those extra flowers, that's a great place to help bring some joy. So I've only brought flowers to Michelle once. I need to do it again. But some other places that I love to give flowers to is just making little bundles and like a mason jar when I have extras and dropping them at our local nursing home here in Ballard. Or I also like to gift bouquets to Facing Homelessness, which is a great organization in the community. But if you grow flowers and you always have your table full, it's fun to think about ways you can share those with others when you have too many for your table. Okay, let's get to those flower facts. So I was looking up what the biggest flower in the world is, and straight from Farmer's Almanac, I'm going to read this. The title for the biggest singular flower belongs to Rafflesia arnoldi, otherwise known as the corpse flower. It reportedly smells like rotting meat. Ew. And then they say it's located in the rainforests of Western Sumatra, Indonesia, and the blooms are 3 feet in diameter and weigh a whopping 20 pounds. So I'm looking at a big photo of one right now, and it's like red and speckled and, so yeah, that's your largest flower in the world. There's another giant corpse flower also located in Sumatra, the Amorphophallus titanum. It is actually larger than the Rafflesia arnoldi, but it's comprised of inflorescence, which is a clustering of blooms rather than a singular bloom. Guinness World Records lists the tallest at just over 10 feet. However, they can grow up to 12 feet tall in their natural habitat. And so I'm also looking at a photo of this, and it's just a huge standing bloom inside a glass greenhouse. It's really cool. But I was thinking about it, and there's some sunflower varieties that I know grow taller than that. And so I think they must be talking about the height of the actual flower rather than the height of the plant, because obviously there's trees and other things that grow super tall and have flowers on them. So I think for this question, the answer we were looking for was the tallest individual flower. And then the smallest flower is also listed right in the same article. And those are Wolfia globosa, otherwise known as duckweed, which is rootless and stemless. Its tiny flowers are about 3 millimeters wide and float on the surface of the water. They're also super nutritious, exceeding almost every other superfood in vitamins and minerals. It has more protein content by weight than soy, lentils, and quinoa. So if you're amazingly awkward at dinner parties like me, there's 3 new facts for you to bring up to your friends. The song this week is New Kind of Love by Skylar Grey, a really cute song from Mindy Kaling's show 4 Weddings and a Funeral, and that's just a really cute little show. So a happy, upbeat song for you, and I hope everybody has a lovely week. And don't forget to tune in next week, because we'll have Renee from Renee's Garden on, and we're going to do a giveaway with a gift card for Renee's Garden Seeds and her cookbook. So see you next week. Everybody have a good one. Bye. It gives me sweet little pains in my heart, like a sweet little rain that falls for a flower.